Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone again to FMG Live. I'm your host, John A. Guffey. Well, it's been a crazy couple of months, and I'd want to appreciate everyone who has decided to listen in live. I know we got that message out a little bit late today, but I want to thank everyone who is joining us live. And also, if you're listening to us archived, a huge thank you to you for finding us and listening to the message that we have for you today. The new time, it's 3 p.m. Eastern time, and that's our new time that we're going to keep coming to you. We decided that, you know, we did some investigating and did some polling and took a look and said that 6 o'clock, you know, some people are listening in, people are having supper and doing a lot of other things. So we decided to move the show to 3 p.m. to increase our live listenership a little bit. Again, thank you, everyone. Whether you're listening archived or listening live, we really appreciate you. Just want to go over a piece of scripture today. You know, sometimes I do this, I've done it a couple of times, and this piece of scripture, the Lord laid it on my heart, and I really started looking into it, and it is so chock full of information. And this is what we say, when you hear someone talk about biblical meat, this passage of scripture has it. This is the filet mignon. This is a big Texas ribeye. This is a side of beef. This is a huge ham of scripture that we're going to be going through today. And so I want to get right into it. It's found in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. And Jeremiah, this is in the Old Testament. And a lot of people want to know, why do we still need the Old Testament? Well, you see, God uses the entire Bible to communicate to us. He uses a lot of the stories and prophecies and things in the Old Testament to show how Jesus came to fulfill them and to show his word and to speak to us today. There is no part of the Bible that is useless. God didn't give us his word in this form. He didn't see to it that it came to us in this form without purpose. He didn't just leave it to random chance. The books of the Bible are the books of the Bible, I believe, because these are the ones that God divinely inspired, ordained, and said, these are the ones that are my true words. These are the ones that I want the people to hear. There are books of the Bible that we don't hear about, or rather there are books that are not included in the Bible that we don't hear about, and in them there are stories about Jesus, there are stories about the apostles, and there are even books that Christians do not put into the Old Testament for reasons. And so the bottom line is, we have the Old Testament as a word from God. And I use that specifically because we're going to talk about that in just a second. So along comes Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah lived in the what we would call the early or the late 600s and into the 500s B.C. before Christ. He began his ministry, began as a prophet around 626 B.C. So that would be, it's 2015 now, so you're looking at about 2,640 years ago. That's a long time. And you may think, wow, really? This guy can't even understand. He didn't even know what electricity is. How is he going to be able to write down anything from God that has any meaning to my life today? Well, you see, the cool thing about the Bible is that Jeremiah, he may have been the man who wrote the words down, But you see, he didn't write them. He's not the author. God is the author. God is the one who, when his word is read, when you read it, it's not Jeremiah speaking to you. It's not Moses speaking to you. It's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John speaking to you. It is God. And we see that when we look at Jeremiah chapter 24, starting at verse 4. And I included this verse because it's really important. Because Jeremiah gives credit where credit is due. He says again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. Now, right there, you think, well, what's so important about that? Listen to what that says. The word of the Lord came to him. That means that this is God speaking. And as if you've heard me speak before, you know that I am a firm believer, and I know that when God speaks, it is. You see, when God says something, he spoke creation into existence. He spoke the heavens and the earth. He spoke light and darkness. He spoke animals and fish and fowl. He spoke everything into existence. He breathed life into man. So you see, when God speaks, everyone needs to listen. God speaking is action. You know, there's that phrase, actions speak louder than words. Well, with God, they're the same thing. Because God speaks it, it is. And then to reinforce that, to remind you, verse 4 says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord. In case you missed it, let me tell you in verse 5, God says, in case you missed what I just said, I'm going to tell you now. I am speaking this. And he's saying that for emphasis. He's saying that so that you and I will get that this is God speaking, and he's speaking to you and to me. And he says, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. So let's break this down. So the Lord reminds us that he is saying this. And he reminds us of who he is. He is the God of Israel. He is the God. And he had given, he had spoken to Jeremiah about figs and given him this example of good figs and bad figs earlier in the chapter. But he says, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive. That's such a powerful, powerful statement. Because you see, what God is saying is that he acknowledges you, even though you are captive. When we are born into our flesh, our sinful bodies, we are captives. We are captive to sin. As human beings, that is our natural condition. The only way to free us from that captivity is through the blood of Jesus Christ and accepting him as our personal Savior. But you see, God, and you know, this is when we get into God, you know, so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you and me. That captivity that Jeremiah is talking about, that carried away captive, that's you and me. And God has not forgotten us because he says, I acknowledge them that are carried away captive. I acknowledge the sinful captive. Jeremiah was writing at a time when the children of Israel had divided into two separate kingdoms, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom had already been taken away and conquered by a people called the Assyrians. And yes, that sounds just like what you think it does. They came from what is modern-day Syria and Turkey. And had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel already and led them away captive, and a lot of them. And Jeremiah witnesses the destruction of Israel by the Babylonians, and they're being taken away captive from the southern kingdom. So he is witnessing what would be in his day the basically the destruction of his homeland. Imagine, if you will, America is no more because it has been taken over by a foreign power. That is what, you know, I pray that America never goes through that. We have not yet, and by God's grace and protection, we never will. But unfortunately, Judah did. So God is, there's two things going on here. Jeremiah, during his day, is saying that God says he's not forgotten us. He is acknowledging those who are captive. And you see, for us, that's what God is saying. God is saying, I know you're captive to sin, but I acknowledge you. And then we get into verse 6. And here is where some real meat starts. You see, God wants to remind them of something. Because they're in a dark, captive place. Think about how depressed you would be. How depressed you may be already today in your sin. You know, one of the things that people know right from wrong, we do. It's one of the weapons that our enemy, the devil, uses against us. He uses the guilt of sin against us. So when we are lost, before Christ comes to us and we know him and we accept him and his gift, we are captive to sin. But you see, if you're listening to my voice and you've been saved, you said, Jesus, come into my heart. Please forgive me of my sins. I accept and believe that you died for me and that you were born again, that you were raised from the dead. If you believe that, you can still be captive. Because you see, the thing, and I've talked about this before, if you listen to some of my shows, we as Christians, we get scared of our freedom. We put the shackles back on because sin is our comfort zone. See, God had taken these people, and the Babylonians had come, and God was saying to them, I recognize you are in captivity. I recognize you're outside of your comfort zone. See, for us, captivity is comfort. We live in sin, we wallow in it, and we don't think we can escape it. And when we get scared, things get a little hard, Christians, we run back to it, don't we? It's really easy to do. And we do that because we're comfortable. The chains of sin, though they are heavy, though they hurt, they are a comfortable pain. But it's a pain we do not have to live with. See, God acknowledges those of us carried away captive. He acknowledges you, fellow Christian, brother or sister, who sinned. He acknowledges you as captive. He knows where you're at. He loves you anyway. Because, you see, that's what that acknowledgement means. He's saying, you're not forgotten. I haven't cast you aside because you screwed up. How do we know that's what he's saying? Because we get into verse 6. And here's the meat. I mean, here's where we're going to really, every word of this is so awesome. First of all, God says, remember the word of the Lord came saying, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. for I will set my eyes upon them for good. That means that he is setting his mind and his effort to good for you. Because when he says them, he's talking about you and me. He's talking about us. Not just us as Christians, all of us. Every single human being is them. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good. Because they're my children. And I will bring them again to this land. Okay, now here in this example, he's talking about bringing them to this land. But what does that mean for you and me? Is he going to take us to go live in Israel? No. What that means for us is he's restoring. He's going to restore. Some of you are familiar with the story of a man named Job. Job lost literally everything except his life. He was sitting on an ash heap of what used to be his. Everything gone. And he still praised God. And he was restored. All that he lost was restored unto him. You have an enemy out there who may have already taken away your family. May have taken away your relationships with your loved ones. And maybe you've never really had a good relationship with God. Maybe you did, and something happened. Now that relationship's gone. See, God just wants to restore that to you. He wants to restore family to you. He wants to restore relationship to you. He wants to restore love to you. Today is actually the 1-year anniversary of my beautiful wife, Daisha, and I getting married. And that marriage is a restoration. We both come from broken marriages. We both had children from those marriages. We became a blended family. Because God brought us together when at a time in our lives when we were both feeling not just lonely, but feeling like we had lost our families. And he restored that to us. God wants to restore to you. And then he's not just going to restore. What does he say? And I will build them. So he wants to build you up, starting at the foundation of relationship, starting at the relationship between you and him. So you see, God, so what's God said? He says, I'm going to set my mind and effort for your good. I'm going to bring you back again. I'm going to restore unto you. And now I'm going to build. I'm going to build you up. And to do that, we're going to have a foundation. You see, that's how God builds. God's a master builder. God doesn't build anything that doesn't last. He made you eternal. You have a soul that lives forever. And he wants a relationship with you that is forever. So he's going to build, beginning with that relationship. And then he will strengthen you, and he will build you up. Now, you know, it's not easy. Anytime you're building something, there are struggles, and there are pains, and there are irritations, and there are things that get in the way, and there's an enemy out there who tries to tear down everything that you are building up. That wants to tear you down because he wants to destroy you. Because that enemy can't hurt God. The enemy cannot go to God and destroy him. He tried. Failed miserably. Got kicked out. Because God is God. But see, that enemy hates you. Because you are the child that God loves, and he's going to come after you. So during this building period, which is constant, you're constantly building on, it's like building a beautiful, beautiful skyscraper or a beautiful, beautiful house that you never finish building because it just goes on and on forever. Because that's our relationship with God. When we choose that relationship, it lives forever. So God says he's going to build you up and not pull them down. God is not here to destroy. I love in the Old Testament how people like to quote, you know, how horrible God is. And they say, oh, well, you want an example of, you know, terrible things. Look at what God does to these people or that people. And look at how wrathful God is. When you paint, you know, particularly this Old Testament God is this God of storm and thunder and fire and destruction. He just said, he says, instead of listening to what man has to say about God, listen to what God says. And I'm not going to, you know, let's be clear. There were times when God needed to do some things. There were times when God needed to take drastic measures because people were out of control and refused to acknowledge him or listen to him and were doing horrific things, things that make the true crime sections of today's paper look like the funny pages, look like the comics. God wasn't about to put up with that. He couldn't. He needed to save humanity, even if he had to do it from itself. But you see, God is telling you, I'm not here to pull you down. I'm not here to destroy you. I am not here to crush you. And I will plant them. What happens when you plant something? What are you doing? Do you just plant something and walk away? No. You nurture it. You help it grow. You water it. You feed it. You make sure it gets sunlight. I'm so glad that God is a better gardener than I am. I couldn't make grass grow in the rainforest. I am pretty pitiful when it comes to making plants grow in the garden. Flowers in my yard and tomato plants and things of that nature. I am no good with those. But God is. See, God says, I will plant them and not pluck them up. See, he's reminding you again. I'm going to plant you, nurture you, and grow you. That's what you do when you plant something. And then I'm not going to just jerk you up out of that. I'm not going to, because what happens when you pluck up a plant? You end up destroying it, right? Because you've pulled it out. You basically have killed that plant. God says, I'm not going to do that. Oh, and here we go. He goes on into verse 7. So let's just recap verse 6 real quick. So God says, I'm going to set my eyes upon you for good. Because remember, you are them in the scripture that we're talking about. So I'm going to set my mind and my effort for good for you. I'm going to restore to you. I'm going to build you up. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to grow you. I'm going to plant you firmly in a good foundation. It's like I'm going to build with a good foundation. I'm not going to destroy you, and I'm not going to pull you up. And then in verse 7 he says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And he doesn't say that in a mean way. He's saying, I'm going to give you a heart to know me. I'm going to build that relationship. I'm going to give you access to me. You see, that's God talking about his personal nature. Do we get to see the heart of Apple or the heart of Google or the heart of General Electric or the heart of Ford Motor Company? No, because they don't have one. They're organizations. Do we get to see the heart of their CEOs? Do we even get to see the heart of the president, really? Not since Reagan, I don't think. Have we ever, are we privy to the heart of any public figure? But God says, I will give you a heart to know me. That saying, I want to know you and for you to know me. I'm going to open myself up to you. You see, this is a God of giving. He's not talking about, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to bring me this, and you have to do these rituals, and you have to do these actions. God doesn't say that. He says, I will give you a heart to know me. I'm going to work on this relationship. I'm going to open myself up to you so that you can see who I am. And you'll know that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. See, that's what God wants. That is it in a nutshell. If we replaced they with you, let's listen to, let's read verse 7. And I'm not big on replacing words in the Bible. I'm not doing this to say, hey, this verse needs to be rewritten. But I'm trying to interpret it for you and give you an interpretation to show you how you can read this and what this is actually saying to you and I today. It says, and I will give you a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and you will be my person. You'll be my people. You'll be my child. And I will be your God, for you shall return to me with your whole heart. That's not a command. That's a prediction. That's God saying, when I do this, when I open up myself to you and let you see all of me and let you know me, you're going to come to me and we're going to have the relationship that I always intended to have. And we're going to have the relationship that I always want with you. Because I don't reject you. Remember, he says, I'm not here to destroy, not to tear down, not to pluck up. He's here to love you. And that's what God is saying here. God is crying out to you through the words of Jeremiah. God is saying to you, Jeremiah is just repeating. Jeremiah is just the messenger. God is saying to you, I want to restore this relationship. I want to find you. I want to open myself up to you. I have nothing but good planned for you. I've set my whole mind and effort for good for you. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to grow you. I'm not going to tear you down. I'm not going to destroy you. And I'm going to open myself up to your heart. And I'm going to open my heart up to you so that you can see me for what and who I am. God is very honest and open with you if you let him, if you go to him. See, the problem is we listen to man. We listen to other people, and we listen to how they interpret God instead of going to him ourselves. Reach out to him. God loves you. I'm your host, Johnny Guffey, for FMG Live. Thanks, and have a great night.